Welcome to the webcast. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of January 2020, and this evening I'm going to be talking about the pathway of love. I want to take us on a journey this evening, really to sort of look at where we were, but then to look at where we are now. And not only where we are now, but where we're heading to, and you know what we're going deeper into. And, you know, really what I want to make us aware of is that we are not where we used to be, but we are in a different place. And, you know, maybe we don't realize that. Maybe the eyes of our heart need to be opened. Maybe we need a deeper revelation of where we are and where we're going. But what I want to leave with us today is that, you know, we are not where we were. And I've entitled it The Pathway of Love because it really is about a journey. It's a journey that all of us are probably on. And, you know, maybe some of us don't realize that we've been on this journey, but it's a journey that we're all on. And it's a journey that we'll probably be on for the rest of our lives, going deeper into the extravagant love of the Father. So I'd like you to imagine for a few moments what it would have been like on the last evening that Jesus was with his disciples before he was taken away to the cross. You know, on that last evening, they have a meal together. And really, John chapter 12 through to John chapter 17, John chapter 13 to 17, is probably a sort of pretty good summary of what happened at that meal table and the discussions they have. And it's a really profound discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples. And it, in a way, it's really drawing together not just the 3 years that he's been with his disciples, but it's drawing together the whole of the time he's spent on earth, starting off as a little baby boy, growing up as a boy, a teenager, a young man, and then through into adulthood. But actually, more than that, these chapters are really summarizing for us God's eternal purpose and the working out of God's plan for mankind. And Jesus kind of compresses it all into these 3 or 4 chapters. And it's an incredibly deep conversation. There's so many truths, so much revelation in there. And in a sense, it is a passage of scripture that we've become very familiar with. And sometimes in that familiarity, we can miss the nuances of what's going on kind of in the background or just the atmosphere of that evening together. And so I want you to imagine that you're in that room, the Last Supper, as we call it. And I want you to imagine what would the disciples have been feeling? What would they have been thinking about? Because this meal together comes at the end of a very eventful week. You know, a week before they sit down for this meal, Jesus has come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. All of the crowds have been waving their palm leaves and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," you know, and they've been proclaiming Jesus as the king, and you know, everybody has been on Jesus's side. And it's like, you know, this is what they want. And, you know, the great excitement, the great euphoria, the just that tremendous sort of overwhelming sense of what's going to happen next. And, you know, the disciples were probably feeling, whoa, this is good. This is what we were born for. This is what it's all about. And, you know, that was like 1 week before this meal. And yet as that week has gone on, a lot of things have changed. You know, at the beginning of the week, Jesus was incredibly popular. Everybody wanted to be known with him, to be seen with him, to be known as one of his followers. But as the week goes on, that popularity falls away. And The leaders are plotting against him. The Romans are not very happy. And the disciples are in the middle of this story. And they can feel the change. You know, beginning of the week, everything's great. They're on a high. And then as the week goes on, they start to wonder what's going on. And then they realize actually that Jesus is really, really unpopular. And that the leaders and the Pharisees are plotting to kill him. You know, the crowds start falling away and the disciples know that suddenly it's changed from being exciting to being really, really serious. And although Jesus has told them that he's going to die, they don't kind of really believe it and they don't really know it's going to happen like in the next few days. But at the end of this week, you know, at the end of the highs and the lows, Jesus gathers his disciples and they start having a meal together. And during that meal, John chapter 14, it tells us a lot of the conversation over the meal table. And Jesus starts off by saying, you know, in my Father's house, there are many rooms and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, we kind of understand that because we've read the end of the story. But can you imagine what the disciples were thinking? It's like, what? You know, I'm going to my Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. What? You know, suddenly the disciples think, well, what is he talking about? And I love the response of Thomas and Philip in this story because Thomas and Philip are like us. They ask the questions that we're all feeling. And so, you know, Jesus says, I'm going to my Father. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going ahead of you. You know, there's plenty of room in my Father's house. I'm going to make a place ready for you. And I can imagine the disciples thinking, what's he on about? What's he talking about? And Thomas says, you know, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going. What's this all about? And of course, in response to Thomas's question, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Brilliant, wonderful statement that we know so well. And Jesus then goes on to say, he says, no one comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus is opening up this revelation, and I'm so glad that Thomas asked the question. You know, we don't know what you're talking about. Where are you going? You know, and then Jesus says, I'm going to my Father, and I am the way, and you can come to the Father through me or with me. I will take you to the Father. We'll go together. That's kind of what he's saying. And Philip then, I think Philip gets a little bit of revelation. And because Philip said, oh, it's all about the Father. And Philip says, show us the Father and that will be enough. It's like Philip's kind of sees where this conversation is going. And he says, yes, it's all about the Father. Show us the Father and it will be enough. And Jesus, I always feel a little bit sorry for Philip because Jesus looks at him and says, Philip, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I can imagine the disciples going, oh no, here we go again. What's he talking about? You know, it's like, first of all, he tells us he's going somewhere and he's going to prepare a place for us. And then he says it's all about the Father and we can get to the Father through him. And then he says, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I think the disciples are sitting there around this meal table feeling very confused. You know, they've got the background of this last week with them. You know, they're in this situation that has changed dramatically. Jesus has gone from being the most popular to being the most hated, being the one everybody wanted to follow to being the one no one wants to follow. And, you know, they've stuck with him and they're his friends and they're with him. And you know, just imagine what it was like. And I think they must have felt that this was a very, very confusing conversation that they were in the middle of. And in verses 13 and 14, I think Jesus says something that must have brought great comfort and great security to the disciples. Because in verses 13 and 14, he says, "Whatever you ask, I will do. If you ask me, I will do it." You see, and I think that brings the disciples back to a very, very comfortable place where they think, oh, thank goodness, there's still a constant here, that we can still talk to our friend Jesus. We can still ask whatever we want to ask and he will do it. See, that's, I think that's a very, very comforting statement. And it's actually one I really believe that many of us, in fact, all of us probably have held on to and put our trust and put our faith in, that we can go to Jesus and we can ask him and we have the assurance and the certainty that he will do it on our behalf. You know, that is a tremendously comforting and secure statement that Jesus makes to his disciples. And then, you know, maybe that brought them back to a place of peace and rest, and they carry on with their meal. And a little bit later, maybe when they're having coffee at the end of their meal or whatever they did, in John chapter 16, Jesus says something that is completely the opposite to what he said in John chapter 14. And, you know, John chapter 16, at the beginning of the chapter, the disciples are still confused. You know, they're talking amongst themselves and they're saying to one another, "Oh, I do wish he would speak plainly. You know, I wish he'd stop speaking in riddles or in pictures." You know, they're saying to each other, "We really don't understand what he's talking about." You know, and Jesus knows what they're saying to each other. And he says, "Oh, are you thinking that I'm speaking in riddles?" And they go, "Oh, yeah, we are." You know, they're back in their confused state where they really haven't got a clue what's going on. You know, and just think about it for a moment. These guys are probably teenagers, you know, late teenagers, maybe early 20s. They're ordinary guys. They're fishermen. They're not educated by and large. You know, they haven't got a degree in theology. They haven't read the end of the book because the end of the book hadn't been written. And they're just these ordinary fishermen sitting around the table together, and they are totally confused. You know, they thought they'd got it clear in John chapter 14, but here at the beginning of John chapter 16, they just say, "What is he on about? We don't understand. We're confused." And I think I can understand their confusion. You know, so much has happened in the last week for these guys that they're just overwhelmed with the ups and downs of what's happened. And suddenly here they are in the midst of this story, and they know that something really, really serious is about to happen, and they don't really quite know what. And so they're talking to each other and they're just confused. And then as they go through this discussion into John 16, we get down to verse 23 and verse 26, and Jesus says the complete opposite of what he said in John chapter 14. Jesus says, "You won't ask me." And the disciples go, "Hang on. In John chapter 14, you said, whatever we ask, you will do. And now you're saying, you will ask nothing of me." And he reiterates it in verse 26. He says, "You will ask the Father. I do not say I will ask the Father, but you will be able to ask the Father yourself." And you see, that's an incredible transformation. That's an amazing difference. Jesus says in John chapter 14, "You can ask me anything." And in John chapter 16, he says, "You don't need to ask me anything. You can make your requests directly to him. I won't make them on your behalf. You see, what Jesus is saying is, guys, you've got direct access to the Father. You know, you don't have to come through me. You can come through me if you like, but you don't have to come through me, because you can go directly to the Father yourself. And then the disciples say, thank goodness. I mean, this is what they say. They say, now you are speaking clearly. Now you are speaking clearly. You see, it's very easy to look at this as if it's two verses that are completely contradicting each other. You know, one says one thing and the other says the other thing, and it's like, kind of, which one do we have? You know, do we go with this one? Do we go with this one? Which one's true? Is this one true? Is this one true? And we can view these as contradictory statements, and we can be in the same place of confusion that the disciples were in. But I've actually come to see that these are not contradictory. I think what I would like to do is refer to them as a before and after photograph. Before something happens, Jesus says, whatever you ask of me, I will do. You know, like, it's like he will go to the Father on our behalf. But then after something has happened, we've got this direct access to the Father ourselves. I don't know if you remember what it was like when your children had birthday parties, and they get all of their friends round to the house, and they sit round the table for the birthday tea, and one of your child's friend wants some more, I don't know, some more ice cream. So the child, the friend rather, the friend of your child will say to your son or daughter, will you ask your mum if I can have some more ice cream? You see, they don't have the relationship to go to us as parents directly. You know, they don't know us well enough. So they come to us through our children. They say, ask your mum, ask your dad. And then, of course, your son or daughter will say, so-and-so wants some more ice cream. And, of course, you give it them. But, you see, they come, those friends come to you as parents through your children. And that's what it's like in John chapter 14. You see, Jesus is saying, I know you don't have the confidence, or you haven't seen yet what this is all about. And so you can come to the Father through me. I will take your requests to him. Whatever you ask me, I will do. And it's like we're behaving like those friends of our children at the birthday party. Now, of course, our own children, they have no fear in coming to us directly and asking us for exactly what they need. And that's what John chapter 16 is like. Jesus says, you don't have to ask me, because you will be able to ask the Father yourself. I do not say, I will ask the Father. You know, the Message translation, it says, make your requests directly to him. I won't make them on your behalf. You see, Jesus is saying that you've got direct access to the Father yourself. You see, it's a before and after photograph. Before something happened, Jesus says, you're comfortable coming through me. But after something has happened, we can go directly to the Father ourselves. And what's happened in the middle? See, what's happened in the middle is very, very simple, but incredibly profound. What's happened in the middle is John chapter 14, verse 18, where Jesus says to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You see, Jesus is saying to his disciples, and then he's not talking about the natural state of their hearts, of their lives. He's not talking about them being natural orphans. He's talking about the state of their heart, that even And I get so encouraged by this, that even having spent 3 years with Jesus, you know, day to day, walking with him, talking with him, seeing how he lived life, Jesus still recognizes within his disciples that they are orphan hearted. And I get encouragement from that, you know, I think, oh, well, if they were still orphan hearted after having been with Jesus, then yeah, there's hope for me. But Jesus looks at them and he sees the orphan heartedness inside of his disciples. And he says, I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm coming to you. You know, I am transforming your lives and bringing you away from being an orphan, being a servant, into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. You know, this is the journey. This is the pathway of love that draws us out of our orphan-hearted ways and into sonship. And it releases us to walk as Jesus walked. And we're released, you see, we're released to walk this way when the eyes of our heart are opened and we can see the truth of who we are. We can see the truth of who our Father is, that he is our Father and he wants to be a Father to us. And as we realize that, as we allow him to pour his love into our hearts, so we are transformed and we begin this walk of sonship, which, you know, we never arrive whilst we're living on this earth. You know, if we think we've arrived, all we've done is brought it down to the level of our own minds. You know, never ever think you've got there. Because if you do, you've just limited it. You know, this journey of sonship is going to go on forever. And that's what I believe has happened between these two verses, that there was a before photograph and an after photograph, and something happens in the middle to change the dynamics of what's going on. And Jesus says, when you know that you're a son or a daughter, then you know that you can go to the Father yourself, just as my children know they can come to me. You know, they don't go through a third party like their friends do, but they come to me directly. And that's what the Father wants for us, that when we know that we're sons, when we know that we're daughters, when we know that the orphan-hearted ways are being dealt with, we can go directly to him. And the reason is very, very simple. And Jesus gives us that reason in John chapter 16, verse 27. You know, the disciples have breathed a great sigh of relief and they say, oh, thank goodness, you know, now you're speaking plainly, now we get it. And in John 16, verse 27, Jesus gives us the reason why we've got this before and after photograph. He gives us this reason of why this transformation is happening in our lives, of why you and I can come to the Father directly ourselves. And the reason is beautifully simple, but this is probably one of the most profound statements in the whole Bible. John 16, verse 27, Jesus says, the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves us. And it's because of that simple yet profound fact that each one of us can go to the Father directly, that the gate of heaven has been opened, that we can go to him as a child goes to a father. You see, Jesus says in the beginning of John chapter 14, he says, I'm going to my Father, and in my Father's house are many rooms. But in verse 23 of chapter 14, Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, but he and I are coming and we will make our home in your heart. You see, that's the room that Jesus is preparing. It's our heart, where with the mess and all and the rubbish and all and everything that's going on in our lives, the Father says, that's my home. You see, now the other side of it is we are in him. You know, we are in Jesus, in the Father. So, you know, he's in us and we're in him, and no longer is there any fear about who God is, because we've encountered him as a loving Father who says to us, I want to make my home in your heart. You see, he doesn't do that so he can be close at hand to judge us and punish us. He does that so he can be with us, to walk with us and be a father to us. You know, it's not about judgment. It's not about fear. It's just about love. And this is the journey. This is the pathway of love that you and I are on. That we've got this beautiful access to the Father simply because he's our Father. That you and I can go directly to the Father. We can talk to him. We can walk with him. We can relate with him. Jesus says, just as you've, to his disciples, and so he says it to us, he says, just as you have related with me, so you can relate with the Father. You see, when he says to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, what he's saying there is, you know, you've related to me as a friend. You've related to me as another man. And you can now relate to the Father in exactly that same way. See, this is a beautiful truth for each one of us. You know, we were somewhere over there, stuck in our orphan-hearted ways, and we've now been brought into the kingdom of his Son. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of sonship living in us that enables us to cry, Abba, you know, Daddy, God, you really are my Father. See, this is the transformation that has happened. You know, I really want to be clear about this. This transformation has happened, and we are walking into the fullness of everything that is ours through it. And it's a walking into that we'll go on doing for the rest of our lives, because we go deeper and deeper into this extravagant love of the Father. We allow him to be a Father to us in a greater and more intimate way. We open up the locked places of our heart where we've shut things away, maybe because of fear, maybe because of judgment, maybe we've never felt safe, but we can open up the locked places of our heart and say, Father, there's this stuff in my heart that I don't want to carry around anymore. And because we know him, and because we trust him, and because there is no fear in love, we can open up our hearts in that safe place and in that vulnerable place to him. And as we open up to him, we allow him to be a Father to us. See, we just learn really what it is to live and to walk in love. So this is the amazing journey that the Father's taking us on. You know, that, you know, he says through Jesus, these two things that are not contradictory, but really a picture of what we were like and what we are, like and what we are growing into. And the reason is very simple. It's because the Father loves us. In these last few chapters of John, there's another journey that Jesus takes his disciples on. It's the same journey, really, but it's expressed in another way. And I want to look at that just briefly. But it's really the same journey that I've just been describing. But in John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. I no longer call you servants, but friends. Now, the implication of that is that the relationship that Jesus has with his disciples has changed. You know, maybe in the early days, it was a master-servant relationship. It was, you know, through the Gospels, we read about the followers of Jesus being called disciples. And, you know, there's clearly in the early part of the Gospels a master-disciple master-servant relationship. Now, the word servant and disciple, they are different words. You know, I did look this up. I wanted to see if they were the same or not, but they are two different words. But they both have this sense of hierarchy. You know, master-servant, master-disciple, teacher-pupil. And you know, one person tells what the other what to do and the other person does it. You know, it's clearly that sort of relationship. And Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And I guess over those 3 years, you know, when Peter and John, or when James and John and Peter left their fishing nets, it was very much to follow someone they saw as their master. It was very much, you know, a pupil following a teacher. And they went with him because they wanted to learn what he was going to teach. But I guess over those 3 years, that relationship changed. It must have changed because Jesus says it's changed. Jesus says, I don't call you servants, but I call you friends. And that's, you know, that's the journey the disciples made. They became his friends. They became friends with the Son of God. You know, I guess they knew him pretty well. I guess he knew them pretty well. You know, I guess they'd been through some good times together, some hard times together. They'd had some challenges. They'd seen the exciting miracles. They'd seen so much. And here we are right on this last evening together. And Jesus is looking around the table and he's saying, you're my friends. You really are my friends. And, you know, isn't that just such a valuable thing to know that you're someone's friend? You know, a real friend. You know, we say we have, you know, loads of friends. You know, oh, I've got loads of friends. You know, how many friends have you got on Facebook? Well, I've got over 1,500 friends on Facebook. But, you know, how many of them are real friends, you know? And many, much, much fewer, of course, you know? And having friends is a powerful thing. It's, you know, someone you can talk to, someone you can share with, someone you're blessed by being in their company. And, you know, you enjoy time together. And here we are on this last meal. Jesus says, you're not my servants. You're my friends. And he doesn't say this, and this is just me wondering, is like, I wonder if he's saying we're no longer in a master discipleship relationship. You know, we haven't got a master servant relationship, but I wonder if he's also saying we haven't got a master discipleship. We haven't got a teacher pupil relationship. We've got a friendship. I don't know. It doesn't say that, but they're kind of parallel, these two words, servant and disciple. And you know, Jesus is clearly stating that these guys who he took on board 3 years ago, they're now his friends, his close friends, and they would, of course, say the same about him. So that's kind of part of the journey. That's part of the transition. He says, you're not servants, but you're friends. And then in John chapter 20, verse 17, after the resurrection, Jesus is with Mary in the garden. And he says to Mary, Mary, go and tell my brothers. Go and find my brothers and tell them what has happened. See, what he's doing is he's saying, yeah, friends is good, but actually we're brothers. We're brothers because we've got the same father. And if we have the same father as Jesus has, that makes us sons and daughters. You see, Jesus says, he doesn't say, it's very interesting, he doesn't say, go and find my friends, go to my friends. He says, go to my brothers. He's letting them know that they are part of the same family that he's part of. Jesus is letting them know that they're united in that family with God as their father. And he emphasizes, he says, go and tell my brothers that I'm going to my father and your father. See, if there's any doubt, Jesus takes that away here. He's saying, yeah, you were servants, then you became friends, but now you're my brothers. And if you're brothers, then you're sons of the same father. If you're my sister, you're daughters of the father. You see, he's brought us into that same relationship with God that he enjoys. And that's the same journey, the same transition, if you like, that I was talking about a few moments ago, that we are brought into sonship. And that's That's what this pathway of love does. It takes us from being servants and orphans. It brings us through a friendship stage, but it leads us into sonship where we know that God is our real Father. And just as Jesus said that to his disciples, I really believe, I know it's true for each one of us. See, John 15, verse 9, Jesus says, remain in my love. See, that's what he wants us to do, that he's revealed his love to us. The Holy Spirit goes on pouring the Father's love into our hearts. And he says, stay in that place. Stay in that place of love where you will grow in this new relationship of being a son to your Heavenly Father, of being a daughter to your Heavenly Father. See, this... We're on this journey. You and I have got direct access to the Father simply because he is our Father. There is no fear in love, because fear has to do with punishment, and perfect love casts out all fear. See, we live in love. And as we live in love, we will know, and we will go on knowing that God is our Father, and that he wants to be a father to us, that we are sons and daughters, that we're no longer slaves, we're no longer orphans. And you see, this, I'm describing a journey to you today of where we were, but of also where we are. And where we are is not a static point, but it's an ongoing journey where we go deeper and deeper into this extravagant love, where we become more passionately aware of our sonship, where we know that, yes, Jesus is our elder brother, but God is our Father. And you and I have the same access to the Father that Jesus had, that you and I can go to the Father simply because he loves us. Simply because he is loving each one of us right now. And I just want to finish with a question, which is very, very simple. And it's what are we seeing with the eyes of our heart? What are we perceiving? What do we understand? Not in our heads, but what do we understand in our heart? Do we see ourselves as slaves or even as disciples? Do we see ourselves as friends? Or do we see ourselves as sons and daughters? Because that's the journey that Jesus summarizes that he's taken his disciples on, his followers on, his friends on. And that's the journey that he wants to take each one of us on. And so My question really is, what do the eyes of your heart see? How do the eyes of your heart see you? Do they see you over here, where you don't feel you can go to the Father directly, where you feel there's a lot of fear and judgment and condemnation? Or do the eyes of your heart see you over here as a son, as a daughter, who's got direct access to the Father simply because the Father himself is loving you right now? That, as Jesus said to Mary, go and tell my brothers that I'm going to my Father and your Father. He really is our Father. And he wants to be a Father to us. And so maybe Barry can just put the music on for a few moments. I'm just going to just pray. And can I just ask you to just ask yourselves the question, how do the eyes of my heart see me? You know, where do they see me over here, or do they see me over here? Because, you know, we're all on this journey, and it's a journey of love. And the Father is taking us on that journey and leading us. And, you know, the last thing we must ever do is compare ourselves to someone else and think that, oh, you know, Barry's further on the journey than me. Well, you know, he may well be, but I'm on my journey, And I know that I'm further on than I was 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And it doesn't matter where anybody else is on the journey. It just matters where you are on the journey. And so just as we're just soaking for a few moments, let just ask a question and let the eyes of your heart be opened so you really see that you are a son or daughter and that God is loving you. And he wants to love you even, he wants to draw you into deeper into his love so that you know that you can go to him as a child goes to their parents and you can remain and live in his love. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you've given each one of us direct access to you. That each one of us can come to you as a child comes to its parents. That we don't have to go through the go-between of our friends, but we can come to you directly. Father, thank you that because you didn't leave us as orphans, you didn't leave us in our servant-hearted state, but you came to us and you poured out the spirit of sonship in our hearts. Father, thank you that you did that seismic change so that we could know you as our Father. And you did it simply because you loved us. And so, Father, may the eyes of our heart be open tonight to see that you are our Father. That we're no longer slaves or orphans. We're not even friends, but we're children. We're sons and daughters. And so, Father, may the eyes of our heart be open to see that. And just as we sit quietly in your presence, Father, may you go on pouring your love into our hearts. And as we are loved, may we have that assurance that we really are your sons and daughters. Amen.